Let's speak to external philosophy.
First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for giving me opportunity to give a talk here. Its title is Universe with Cosmological Constant in Loop Quantum Cosmology. I'm going to speak about results of joint work by Professor Bayashtekar, Eloisa Bentivena, and me. Recently, flat isotropic universe with massless scalar field and vanishing cosmological constant was analyzed. Results were published in this paper. Analysis of this model revealed some interesting results. First of all, it was shown that given a semi-classical expanding universe, there exists a contracting sector, a contracting semi-classical region which precedes it, and they are both connected by quantum bounds, which happens when energy density approaches Planck scale. This work is going to be extension of that analysis to the case of non-trivial cosmological constant. In particular, it is more systematic extension of some preliminary investigations which were already done in there. The purpose of it was attempts to answer the following questions. First of all, does the qualitative picture we've got for vanishing cosmological constants prevail also in here? For example, does the bound still exist? If it is so, does critical energy density still play some fundamental role? Does the bound still happens at the Planckian scale? And the most interesting, probably, what new properties the presence of cosmological constant generates for considered models. Due to some mathematical subtleties, we needed to analyze both signs of cosmological constant independently. So first of all, let me sketch briefly the quantization scheme within LQC framework. As I said, considered model is just flat isotropic FRW1. The only matter content is massless scalar field, and of course we have non-trivial cosmological constant. Basic variables are the following. For geometry part, these are Ashtakar variables, connections and triads, which in isotropic situations, as Param already have shown, can be re-expressed in terms of real coefficients C and P, respectively. On the matter side, we have just a standard scalar field and its conjugate momentum, P-phi. We will quantize the system using procedure following from full loop quantum gravity. So geometric degrees of freedom will be triads and holonomies. They will be raised to operators. For the matter part, we follow standard Schrödinger quantization. Kinematical Hilbert space will be tensor product of geometric and matter Hilbert spaces, where geometric one is a space of square integrable functions on Bohr compactification of real line. On the matter part, it's just standard L2 Hilbert space. For geometric one, it's convenient to introduce the basis, which is formed out of eigenstates of P operator. And for our convenience, we'll label these eigenstates by parameter V, which is such that action of P operator on state V gives this numerical constant times V to power 3/2. Reason for that will be more obvious later when I show the Hamiltonian constraint. So Hamiltonian constraint itself can be has to be quantized before quantization, has to be re-expressed in terms of holonomies, and then to do so one applies so-called Tiemann method. Then holonomies are raised to operators, and we obtain the quantum Hamiltonian constraint, which appears can be written in the following form, quite similar to Klein-Gordon equation, where on the left-hand side we have just second-order derivative over scalar field. On the right-hand side we have minus sum operator, which acts only on geometric degrees of freedom. And in this particular model, we will split this operator into two parts. One, kinetic part, is the geometric part corresponding exactly to the case lambda equal to zero. That's like the geometric part of the operator which was presented by Param. We have second term, potential one, which is just modification due to present or presence of cosmological constant. And we see that it's really like potential, it is just multiplication operator. C's are just certain real functions, there are certain functional coefficients of V. In particular, this theta operator is the difference operator in domain of V. Both these operators, which is quite important, are symmetric within the domain of finite combinations of eigenstates of V. This is some standard dense domain of kinematical Hilbert space, which is always used there. Because of this form, system can be reinterpreted as not as constraint system, but as free system evolving with respect to scalar field. Now there are a few important details. Because we don't have any parity symmetry violation interactions, we will require that our states are symmetric with respect to reflection in V. Also, there is a natural split of the domain. Namely, there is family of sets which are invariant with respect to action of both Hamiltonian constraint and or evolution operator and reflection in V. We'll call them lattices. However, they are not lattices, they are just sets invariant with respect to action of these two operators. And this split of the domain in V is reflected in analogous split of geometric part of kinematic Hilbert space. So let's start with negative lambda. Classically, this system is recollapsing one. Universe first expands and then recollapses when energy density of lambda balances energy density of scalar field and then contracts again up to big crunch. Potential term theta lambda is approximately like positive pi square potential. This operator was analyzed by a research group in Warsaw, and they managed to prove that this operator is positively definite, essentially self-adjoint, and its spectrum is discrete. These results, I suppose, will be presented by Professor Lewandowski's talk later this afternoon. Numerically, one can look at the eigenfunctions, and then one can see that generically, in large V limit, they just exponentially grow. There exist only non-generic, discrete family of solutions which don't behave like that. They, in turn, decay exponentially. They are explicitly normalizable. We can normalize them and form the basis of physical Hilbert space out of them. Now the physical Hilbert space will be formed just out of sums of some coefficients, which is something like spectral profile of given wave function, times appropriate eigenfunction, basis function taken from here, and then e to I omega n phi minus phi naught. In particular, we are interested in states which are sharply peaked, semi-classical at late times. So, for this analysis, we choose the states, Gaussian states, which are peaked about some large omega star, which is related to momentum of the scalar field this way. and which are picked at given chosen initial phi at some V star r so large. So this is the choice. This is just the Gaussian with some dispersion sigma. So this is the result. Wave function is sharply picked throughout the evolution. In particular, for small energy densities, large volumes, the trajectory of Dirac observables V with respect to V at a given time, which was also introduced previously by Param, follows classical trajectory. This is the blue line. Until the energy density becomes again of the order of Planck energy density. When I mean energy density, I mean total one. I mean that means sum of scalar and cosmological constant energy density. And then again, when this happens, we have bounce, and expanding universe is connected to contracting one. In consequence, we have cyclic model, cyclic evolution. Let's switch now to positive cosmological constant, where the situation is a little bit more complicated. Namely, classically, we have two distinct classes of solutions. One, ever-expanding, one, ever-contracting. Both of them, for both of them, volume at given phi reaches infinity for some finite value of phi, of the scalar field. If we parameterize our solution in standard cosmology just with proper time, geodesics are complete at these points, so evolution just ends there, time goes to infinity, but that's not what's happening in phi. So the question now arises whether we can extend it in phi. And the answer is yes. It's an analytic extension. Maybe one can introduce some new variable such that old domain of V is contained, is just some compact subset of it. Equation of motion, which is Friedman equation, is still analytic in this new variable, in old domain. And then we can analytically extend both this old domain and equation of motion. Moreover, if we look at the behavior of energy density, we look that in fact we don't really extend our domain, that the only result of analytic extension is just identification of V equal to plus infinity and V equal to minus infinity. So it's just through compactification. And if we do so, we can look at the extended solution, and we will see that extended solution just is just these two trajectories joined together, that universe expands, and at the infinity gets reflected, and then contracts again towards the Big Crunch. Now, what is happening on the quantum level? We have potential term, which is approximately like minus V square potential. These potentials were analyzed in several branches of physics, from string theory to condensed matter. And then, usually, it happens that the Hamiltonian, the evolution operators, are not essentially self-adjoint. So the question is this the case here? To answer it, we'll apply some standard mathematical theorem of analysis of the operators on Hilbert spaces, which can be found, for example, by Simon, in mathematical physics book by Simon and Reed. First, we have to calculate the deficiency subspaces, which are just spaces of eigenfunctions with eigenvalues plus minus I, which are normalizable, which belong to kinematical Hilbert space. Their dimensions are just called deficiency indexes. And then, depending on the particular dimensions, we have several cases. We can have unique extension, no extensions, or if they are non-trivial but equal, we have many self-adjoint extensions. What is more important, if we, in this later case, we have method to single out all possible self-adjoint extensions. Namely, we look for all so-called partial isometries between kappa plus and kappa minus between these deficiency subspaces. Partial isometries are essentially operators which preserve inner product but have non-trivial kernel. Preserve inner product whenever function it acts on is not in the kernel. Then each subadjoint extensions is just constructed by adding to standard domain of operator the following combination of pi plus from kappa plus and result of action of our chosen isometry. And this method gives all the self-adjoint extensions. We can apply it to our case. We can find deficiency subspaces numerically. Because our functions are symmetric, the analysis, analysis done so far was done only for specific lattice which I defined earlier, namely the ones which contains zero. In this case, symmetry imposes certain constraint near the singularity, and each eigenfunction is uniquely determined by its value at v equal to zero. In consequence, our deficiency indexes are just one. Our deficiency functions are in fact, by inspection, normalizable, that was checked numerically. And in consequence, the only partial isometries we can build act on phi plus, just action of partial isometries on phi plus gives just phi minus, rotated by constant phase. Our original domain is a set of finite combinations of V. In particular, therefore, if we look at the behavior at V going to infinity, it will be given just by these additional combinations we added to from self-adjoint extensions. So we can select our physical Hilbert space corresponding to extension just by selecting eigenfunctions of our operator which have exactly the same behavior at infinity, that means which converge to chosen combination. Once we do it, we observe that there will exist one parameter, parameterized by alpha, family of self-adjoint extensions, and for each extension, the evolution operator has discrete spectrum. That's the example of the evolution, because again, once we have the spectrum, which is discrete, we can repeat exactly the construction of physical states and choose Gaussian states like we did in negative lambda case. That's the result once we do it. Again, we see that states remain sharply fixed throughout the evolution. And again, once energy density is small, they just follow classical trajectory up to infinity, then we have for all the extensions reflection. Energy density approaches Planckian 1. We have bounce. Again, state goes to infinity. We have reflection from infinity. Again, contracting phase, bounce, expanding phase. So our evolution is, in this case, again, cyclic. This is just plot of behavior of energy density. This corresponds exactly to the point where universe reflects at infinity. This is the bounce. One has to remember that the operator is not essentially self-adjoint. Therefore, each extension essentially gives different evolution, different states. However, once we look just at the states sharply peaked around the classical trajectories, we'll see that they are all very similar. They are indistinguishable from each other. So within each extension, we have this reflection from infinity. How much time do I have? So let me summarize really briefly. We analyzed both signs of cosmological constant. For negative one, the evolution operator is self-adjoint, extension is unique. for positive one, we have one parameter family of self-adjoint extensions. And for both of them, we have, for both cases, we have periodic evolution. And we have bounds when total energy density approaches Planckian one. I would like just to mention that analysis for cosmological, positive cosmological constants was done so far for just this special lattice. However, work for generic lattices is in progress, and the structure, self-adjoint problem will be exactly the same. There will be also many self-adjoint extensions. The only problem is that we have a little bit more rich space of solutions, therefore there may be simply more dimensional, bigger space of self-adjoint extensions. That's yet to be checked. Thank you, that's all.
I have one question about the cycle behavior of positive cosmological constant.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cycle in the Newtonian time. And,
yeah.
If you look at the classical solution, the recollapse from infinity should be really have any meaning of proper time with a verb when you approach the
Yeah, unless the proper time is the proper clock with respect to which we should measure some physical events. Because the problem is that it's believed that this region should be filled just by products of evaporation of black holes. So there will be some radiation, there will be mostly massless particles, maybe some massive. But they will be quite homogeneous, so the distribution will be quite homogeneous. Therefore, there is a problem what kind of physical processes we can observe, what kind of clocks we can construct. And there are some arguments that, in fact, the clocks which we can construct will measure just finite amount of time, physical time, till we reach the point B equal to infinity.
Yeah.